So we're here today in a place that's known as a center of innovation, but many of us have to go be agents for innovation and change in industries that aren't necessarily as open to it. What's your advice for that? How do you think about doing something innovative that you believe in, that you think will work when others might say, oh, we're more traditional, this is the way things are done?
So there's actually a term of art in the industry, in the Valley, for what it's called, the evangelistic sale. And it's actually really interesting. It's like our companies, you know, come to market with a new product, a new widget that does something. And they'll go hire sales reps out of companies that sell normal products. And those sales reps will come in and they'll take the product and they'll just completely whiff. Because they'll get back this reaction from every customer being like, yeah, I'm used to buying whatever Oracle databases from you, but I don't know what to do with this new thing. And then those sales reps actually don't know how to sell that thing. And those marketing people don't know how to market that thing. So it's a different kind of thing. And so there's a specific kind of seller, sales rep and marketing person out here, sort of the evangelistic seller, the evangelistic marketer. And you know, it honestly, it I don't know if there's magic in it. It has to do with painting a vision, right? It has to do with painting a vision of the future. It's the marketing. You know, it's sort of the Steve Jobs, sort of the old Steve Jobs used to say is like the problem with consumer research is nobody knew they wanted a Macintosh, right? Like until the Macintosh, or until, nobody knew they wanted an iPhone. Like until the thing showed up, people can't visualize new products on their own. And so you have to paint a picture. And the picture has, you know, that has to be vivid, right? And this is where some of these guys like Elon get criticized for kind of overselling. But like they have to paint a vivid picture. As an example, so Elon comes out with a Model S, right? Here's a great example. Elon comes out with a Model S. Congratulations, it's a car that you plug into specialized charging ports. Well, how many specialized charging ports are out there that I can plug this car into? Zero. Okay, so now I'm going to buy a Model. It's like buying the first fax machine. It's like, congratulations, I now have the first fax machine. Who can I fax? You know, I now have a very expensive doorstop. Like, you know, good job. And so like, so what Elon did when he launched the Model S is he painted a picture. You know, he painted a picture. He went up and gave a big presentation. He said, look, we're going to put these supercharger stations, right, in all these different locations along all these freeways. And he mapped the whole thing out. And he's like, here, you're going to be able to drive cross country. You know, and you're going to charge for free the entire way. And by the way, none of those charging stations existed at that point, but he did lay that vision out. And then he said, look, here's the thing you'll put in your garage, you know, and it'll hook up and here's how much it'll cost. And then, you know, within a year he had the, you know, people were putting these things in their garages and he was putting the charging stations, the superchargers were up, and like it worked. Like, and then he sold enough of the cars into that vision that he was actually able to afford to build all those charging stations. And so it's painting the picture in a way that people can believe. It's painting the picture, by the way, also consistent with reality. Like I believe, you know, there does have to be a substantive claim that the whole thing can work. And then I think, honestly, I think the other thing is it has to attach, maybe obvious, it has to attach to human psychology. And this is the other thing the evangelistic sellers are really good at, which is, so in sales speak, the evangelistic sellers are really good at qualifying, which is there are certain customers where they're just not going to do new things, like where they're just focused on downside risk. They want, you know, it's like they go to work every day, they go home with their family, like, I don't want to do anything that might cause me to look bad and get fired. And that's a completely legitimate, you know, way to operate. And a lot of people are like that. And so the evangelistic seller, one of the things they do is they just qualify those people out. I'm not going to spend any time with those people. But what they find are the minority of people who are like, okay, like I don't want to spend my career just protecting downside. I would like to become known as it within my own company as somebody who's innovative, right, and in the future. And I would like to basically stake a career bet myself, right, on a new technology. And the nature of that career bet, if it doesn't work, I'm going to look bad. But if it does work, wow, I'm going to look like a hero and I'm going to get promoted and I'm going to be the next CEO of the company. And so it's kind of like the evangelistic seller meets the early adopter buyer who's got the right psychological mindset. And then what's super interesting actually is those people actually become very close. You know, that the salesperson then becomes what we call a consultative seller. They become actually very tightly integrated into the lives of the sponsoring executives on the other side of the table. And they're basically fundamentally trying to make each other heroes in their respective organizations. And they often end up extremely personally close because they're on a shared mission to do something new. And so anyway, this is kind of the kind of what we advise our companies to do, but like that's the process. And then it's the process of like, okay, then it's the gut check, which is like, okay, are those early adopters actually out there? Mm-hmm. Right? Do they actually exist? Right? Do they have the authority to actually make those kinds of decisions? Right? Or at some point, by the way, if they don't exist, that itself is an interesting market signal. Like if the early adopters don't exist, it may just be time to start a new company in that market. Mm-hmm. So that's the other thing that happens is the founders are like, oh, it's like imagine being Travis Kalanick and trying to start Uber, and your first idea is I'm going to build taxi dispatch software and I'm going to try to sell it to taxi cab companies. And then you spend 2 years trying to get taxi cab companies to buy this taxi dispatch software and they all say no. You might as well. Now, that isn't literally what happened, but you could very easily imagine that happening. And so that is the other thing that emerges out of this is people just decide to start the company.